know, it's funny.
Levitating out of the seat more.
The first time he saw me, break, he said, "Hey, Ron." After Melissa Dykes testified, he looked like he'd seen a ghost.
He kind of got hit by a boomerang, though, a little bit.
Yeah, well, when she started talking good about Wanamaker, man, they brought her back. And
but they were also, why didn't you bring up this?
Didn't have
this,
any bit of that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
What's that? Okay, Reggie's on the way down.
Lied to me.
Well, they all lied to me from the beginning. I knew it was a rat from the beginning, before I was even elected. They asked me, "Are you going to support privatization?" I said, "No." Matter of fact, no. Exactly what I said. Am I not supposed to be saying anything because I'm on recording? Will this affect the courtroom over there?
I think that young man should be up here.
Hello, young man. How are you?
Just ask.
What's your name? Huh?
Joshua?
That's a good name. That's a biblical name.
Got a biblical?
Hey, I want to give kudos to Jessica because my house, ironically, our house has been on the River Run all 47 or 48 years route, except for 12 when we moved about a mile down the street. And here comes Jessica. "Hey, Miss Carlucci." And I guess she got a hat on, and she's just flying by. I mean, she's not a you know, hokey pokey. I mean, she's running fast, and I noticed that smile. "Hey, Reg, come on up here, buddy. Thank you for coming. You can grab any chair anywhere." This may be what we can expect to come. I don't know. But it is a little after 3, so we were waiting on you, Reggie. So thanks for coming. I appreciate it. First of all, I'll call the meeting to order. Today's date is March the 8th. It's 3:05 according to my phone, and we'll have introductions of the council members that are here, and we'll start down there with you.
Councilman Reginald Gaffney Jr., District 8.
Randy White, District 12.
Ron Salem, Group 2 at large.
Michael Brown, District 6, and it's March 6th. Speak of which.
Did I say March 8th?
You did.
Okay. I don't have my reading.
District 6, on. March 6th, which is D.C.
Okay.
Thrice.
March 6th it is. And my name is Matt Carlucci, at large, Group 4.
Joe Carlucci. Whoa, 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 whoa. Joe Carlucci, District 5.
Okay, thank you. I want to thank everybody for coming. By the way, just as a reminder, we don't want to get into any topic that might, have an issue that we could be voting on in the future. So we want to be mindful of our conversations and stay away from legislation, and so we don't get into any step on any landmines in that regard. And I called the meeting just because I felt there was a more dialogue needed between the candidates, and everybody was notified ahead of time with, I think, enough time to make adjustments to their calendars. I had to make adjustments to mine. But Mr. Carrico could not make it. He's got that real job of his that he's working on over at Boys and Girls Club. But he had a meeting kind of called for him the other day, and so I thought, you know, we'd have everybody that wants to run. Anybody else out here wants to run? Anybody? But I thought it might help if Councilman Borland had a chance also to have equal time and level the playing field, so to speak, a little bit. I don't mean that in a bad way, but so he would be prepared. But we do have another candidate here, and that's our candidate for council president. And Randy, if you'd like to say a few words to start us out, I would be most happy for you to kick it off. And
thank you, and thank you for having a meeting. And I think most of these folks was in here the other day when we had my meeting, and I think I said my topics. I just wanted to come in case there was a question for me, give everybody an opportunity to ask me a question if they wasn't here the other day. I think everybody here was there, but I will still be glad to answer any question as far as I'm concerned what I'm doing, and I appreciate the time.
Okay. Well, we'll come back to you in a minute. And so, Council President, I was saying that I extended an invitation to all candidates for this meeting today with enough time that I was hoping adjustments could be made to their calendars. I had to adjust my calendar a bit, and tomorrow's calendar of mine will not permit. And so Councilman Carrico has his obligations at his business, and I understand that. So I think I'll turn it over to Mike Boylan. And Mike, if you'd like to just kind of take some time to tell us, your qualifications and so forth, why you want to run, and take any questions, and then once we're through there, then I'll come back to Randy, who so far is unopposed. That's a nice place to be, by the way, unopposed.
But we wish we were all.
And,
fairly comfortable. Things can change.
Never know. You never know.
I can tell you, there was a day when the at least for vice president, the thing wasn't decided till the absolute last minute of the last day before the vote. So, Mr. Boylan, thank you for being
thank
here.
You.
I appreciate it.
Hold on a second. Last minute. Did you bring down the handouts? Yes. Sorry. Thank you, first of all, Matt, for calling this meeting, and I do appreciate the earnest effort to get both of us here. I think it's good, and I want to commend Council President Salem. I know I kind of didn't go exactly how we'd planned the other day, but I think it worked well, and the opportunity for all the candidates to let the people know of their interest in serving, and I did appreciate the opportunity to speak at that meeting. I had sent to all of my colleagues a personal letter reflecting on both our relationship and also my rationale and my justification and my qualifications to serve. So I won't reiterate all of that here. One thing I didn't put in every letter, which I do want to make note today, is that this is my second year or first year under my second term. And if I don't secure a leadership position, I have no intention in running next year or the year thereafter. I don't think it's appropriate for me to be in the last couple of years of my term to serve in a leadership position. So I will step down from any interest in serving a leadership role, but continue to do what I do. So as I shared the other day, I think I've demonstrated time and time again from day one in joining this council, it's a full-time position. I don't have any other occupation to get in the way of the work that I do, and I appreciate that Council President Salem stepped down after when he assumed a leadership position, and Mr. White has always been busy, but he too is in a position to be able to serve in that capacity, as am I. The qualifications are there, and I think it's evidence to all. As you compare one to the other, I didn't use the word qualified, actually the word who had a better standing or who had better suited, if you will, to serve in this position. And frankly, I would not put myself forward if I hadn't done that. So I'd be glad to speak to those experiences and that and the recognitions I've received by doing those experiences. So the hardest one, of course, we were just talking about briefly, was Article 21, stepping up and pivoting it when we did away from the workshops, which we ultimately learned were not really the plan, to helping rewrite Article 21. I can't tell you how difficult that was. It's a 44-page bill, working with Ms. Hodges, and in every instance, it's always been a collaborative effort. I think it's an example of my leadership when I invited other colleagues to be part of the process, just as we did with CQLI, as we did this year with JSO Primary Facilities. What I thought I would do today, more importantly, is really speak to my priorities, because that's a question I didn't get a chance to address at the meeting last week. Not just yet. I'll let you know when. So first and foremost, as a candidate for vice presidency, my first priority should be and exactly will be to serve at the pleasure of the president. I'm pointing generally speaking, but I'm pointing. And I think as testimony to that, every president that precedes the next president, whoever it may be, I think can say, and I don't want to put words in even Council President Sam's mouth, that I have served them well. I understood my role as a team player on the council and doing what I can bring the unique talents I have to bear to make things happen in our organization. So that's going to be first and foremost. My first year, or hopefully it's my year's vice president, that's going to be my focus. I actually have three others, and I think one of them is very, very important. I'm glad Mr. Councilmember Romero is here because I think you might appreciate this one. But the second one is we've seen an interesting transition over the course of the past 3 or 4 years, particularly since when ARP dollars came to bear, that we've seen in the allocation of funds to the discretion of the district council members. We as council members, district council members particularly, aren't judged by the votes we have on big issues, broad issues. We are judged by how well we bring back services to our district. And for all of us, one of the great challenges is drainage, sidewalks, you know, particularly road resurfacing. I've had conversations already with Ms. Sickler with the idea of setting aside in the public, in the CIP budget, an allocation of funds that would be in line with what the Public Works Department makes a determination. But as we as district council members have an opportunity to step forward and say, I want to make this a priority over that. Even though the money's put out there and it's pushed out for next year, I want that in this year's budget. If it's determined by Public Works, I'm not trying to usurp their responsibility and the role in that process. I'm trying to make certain that we as district council members have an opportunity to have a voice in the decisions. You all know as well as I do, when you get those emails and say, I will ask, that's all I can do is ask. We need to make it certain that our public, that we district council members have a stronger voice in that process. So that's number two. Number three, bear with me on this one. You know, for as long as we, for a long, very long time, and I don't know how long it's been, but as a body, we have allowed everyone else in the world to shape our narrative. Think about that. We allow everyone else to shape our narrative, and it's time for us to control the narrative that comes out of our office. Let me give you a couple of examples. By the way, when you add to that a media-savvy mayor who has a consultant or assistant who works with her, whom I hired, by the way, who knows how to utilize the media effectively in getting their messaging out, I believe we as a council have missed greatly the opportunity to shape that narrative going forward. Let me talk about how and why in just a minute. How many times have we seen, don't mean this disparagingly, but when the focus of the media, and I'm in the business, I can understand it, pits one of us against another in our comments. Oftentimes misrepresents our intentions as we do things. Overlooking the broader scope of work that we do. How many times we sit in a city council meeting, people come up here and say, you don't do anything. All you do, X, 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 is nothing, nothing, nothing. We don't let people know what we are doing in terms of moving this city forward. We're not proactive at all in that process. And more times than not, podcasters, social media, you know, others with special interests, you know, they put the focus on less important things than the things that we do. I think it's time for us to change that, and I think there's a rationale for that. I've had this conversation with Ms. Sidman, with Teresa, about the prospect. We are looking to rejuvenate these rooms, but most of you are probably familiar with a VNR, a video news release. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we got to ourselves focused that at the end of a neighborhoods meeting or a rules meeting, there is a five-minute produced package that highlights what happened in that meeting, that we can put on social media, that we can put on our own websites. Sure, we've got minutes of our meetings, but people can't find them. They're not going to sit through 3 hours to see something what they want. I want to be able to have an opportunity for our colleagues to talk about that and to see both sides of the issue. Someone comes up and says, I hate this, is a terrible idea. Fine, that's part of the news piece. We want to be able to, in a succinct package, 5 to 7 minute package, talk about what happens at each of those city council meetings, or committee meetings. And then at the end of the city council process, I'm going to have Sonia pass this out. Go ahead, Sonia, pass those out. About 3.5 years ago, I started a process, and I sent this actually out to the new council members when they first came on board. I put out every 2 weeks, right after 3 or 4 days after the city council meeting, a 2-page summary of what happened at the meeting. And then attached on the front page is the email I sent out with it. It's just, a, you know, the second page is that summary, and it's pretty straightforward, just what happened. And then I have commentary, perhaps, on what my vote on those kind of things. And then I also talk about what's happening in our district. Rezoning is a big issue. I always put in that email every 2 weeks, you know, what's where we are in the rezoning in my district. Last we looked, there's over 7,000 people who received this biweekly email. And I can't tell you how many times, time and time again, people say, all we want you to do is to communicate to us what's going on. And I think we as a body can help each other in that process to do these kind of things and then strengthen that so that we can speak with one voice. We put a lot of pressure on the council president by being the voice in this process. I don't want to diminish that. I want to reinforce that by putting together a vehicle that allows us to do that. VNRs. I mean, if you ever watch WJCT does this week in the legislature, you know, with your dad both on television and on radio, why not have this week in city council so we can let people know what's happening? What's happening? LUZ is probably the most impactful committee that we have as it relates to how it's going to be impacting people's lives over a long period of time. Yet we kind of ignore it, and we don't push it out there. That's a lot of hard work that goes on in LUZ. So this is another one that I think is something that I'd like to see us focus on going forward, and I'd welcome the opportunity to do it. And lastly, and thank you for the time, Council Member Carlucci, obviously this past year, much like we did last year with the CQLI, we've spent an awful lot of time, nearly 6 months by the time we get it all said and done, and focusing on the JSO primary facilities. I can attest to you that I've been to nearly every one of those working group meetings. So if there's anyone versed on the council with respect to the future and the direction we need to be going as it relates to replacing the pretrial detention center that we have today, I think it's going to be a focus not only of the current administration or upcoming administration, but certainly probably more so in years 2 and 3 thereafter. And I think having someone in the council leadership position who is well-grounded into the work that's been done up to now, who can have a strong voice in the direction where that goes going in the future, I think I'm the best suited to do exactly that. So those are the ideas that I have, Councilmember Carlucci, with putting forward. I think, as I mentioned, give some thought to the fact that as people out there look, and I will share this with you in all frankness. Again, a lot of folks are kind of scratching their head. How is it you with all the experience you have, are up against, with all due respect, a first-term councilman with a few years in front of that who doesn't have the experience? And why is there support for a candidate in that position? I don't answer that question, but I think you need to answer that question for yourself because people are going to be asking you as well. With that, I will answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. I think they're very well succinct. I think they were direct. I think they were independent, and that's a good thing. Anybody have any questions they'd like to ask our vice president candidate?
No questions, comments.
Okay. Comments, too. By questions, I mean also comments.
I have a comment as well after.
Yeah. Thank you, through the chair. I just wanted to say that the first time I saw Councilman Boylan produce this, I thought it was admirable and very commendable for the simple reason I believe that if you want to, I don't want to say stay in good graces with your constituents, but if you want to be an effective public servant to your community, this is a tremendous way of keeping that line of communication open. And I agree to some degree what you're saying about us controlling our narrative instead of letting others control it. I'm going to date myself here, but I remember as a young reporter, David Harrell was city council president, and Mr. Harrell was a master of controlling the message of the city council. And as even if you were a very assertive reporter, he would still spin it right back to his messaging. So I agree.
Communication is so critical. I was looking at our elections results, and Mr. Carlucci was a few steps behind me, but the differential between me and my opponent, who was also a Republican, was 30 points. And a lot of that was, and I'm standing out there in front of polling places, and they said, you let us know what's going on. Just the last couple of days, someone put an open letter on Nextdoor. We all love Nextdoor, right? And I responded to that letter. And not only did I respond to that letter there, and I put it out there as a comment in response to the questions about AT&T and IQ Fiber, I also put it on, in case you didn't see my response to the open letter. I can't tell me how many people commented on the fact that Judge Chuck Arnold says, I told you he was an honest guy. So I think it's so imperative that we do that and be proactive in
that
process.
That's quite a compliment, by the way.
I know it is. Trust me.
Chuck, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's all right.
Go ahead.
But, no, I appreciate your comments, and I think it's something we need to – and we can do as a body. I mean, the kind of work I did with this thing, we can do it across the board. It doesn't take – I mean, it's one thing – I appreciate what Jeff and the staff does, but that's what I would characterize as traditional documentation that you need to have that nobody uses other than unless you want to go back and – how did I vote and what did I say kind of thing. But I think it's important for us to put this in user-friendly language and formats and on platforms that people can access it easily and quickly.
Okay. Council President Salem, you wanted to...
Thank you. Just a couple of things. When I wrote the legislation that gave us this 10-day period to have meetings such as this, and this is really indicative of what I was trying to do, a lot of us were concerned that March 1st was it, and that wasn't really fair. So I think the process is working, and I think we need to have more dialogue such as this, number one. Number two, Councilman Vice President White and I have had a presentation from a group called Wander Media, which has a program to really revolutionize Channel 99. And it kind of dovetails to some of the things you're talking about, where, for example, if Joe was on This Week in Jacksonville, we would put that up there. Whenever any of us were in the media, so to speak, there'd be a time when those things would show. We could have town hall meetings, all sorts of things that we could do fully implementing that Channel 99 like we aren't now. And you're the TV guy. I mean, you could really. And so that legislation is about ready to be introduced, I think, very soon. And I welcome everyone's input into that. It's going to cost us, I think, around $100,000 to get it going. And Teresa Eichner, who I don't think is here, is very much aware of all that. And I should say, Teresa, for me as president, has been just a godsend in terms of the number of speaking engagements that I have and just being able to hand me some talk. I mean, basically hands me what I'm going to say. So I don't have to do that myself. And apparently in past, people were handwriting their own comments. It just saves me an enormous amount of time. And I think makes the council look a lot better because you've got things that make sense and you're presenting it in a way that I think represents the council well. So hopefully we'll get more on Wander Media soon. And your comments about the CIP, I could not agree with you more. We control the CIP. And sometimes we forget that we control the purse strings in this government, and I get frustrated at times at that. We can do whatever we want with the CIP. We can move things around if we do. I know maybe in our in our first term we were less aggressive about doing that. But I think I know I feel a lot more freedom now than I did maybe in my first 4 years, and I think we need to take advantage of that and move things around if we see fit. That's the finance committee, but obviously the whole council has a bite at that at some point. So I just wanted to say that as well.
Yeah. Let me, if I could, a couple of comments with respect to, I think having an expanded platform is great. But I think what I'm talking about is, and Teresa, I think, may be more than qualified to do this. I don't know. But I'm talking about hiring producers, news folks who can come in here who know how to create a VNR. How do you take a 2.5-hour neighborhood meeting and boil down to 7 minutes that has sound bites, comments from the dais, comments from the podium, and also some reflections afterwards or short interviews, and to bundle those? Someone who can put together and then take that, those 5-7 minute VNRs, and put them in a compile them in a program that's a public affairs program that goes on 99, but other places. I think those are all really important. When you talk about control of the CIP, it was really funny. Last year, when I sat through the finance committee, we were going through the CIP list. I was looking at District 6, and I said, and my comment was, I feel like Moses. Everything is beyond 5 years. Past my time, I'll never get to the mountaintop. And I was able to get one item, Plummer Grant Road sidewalks, got moved up a year as that process. But I think you're right. I think we have recognized and given away that responsibility. And all I'm trying to do is to retain it. And if I could, I want to comment on one other thing. I think one of the concerns people may have with me in a leadership position is my willingness to stand up for the council as we move forward. And I think in every example, we've had three bills recently which the mayor refused to either did not sign and could not support. I supported every one of those bills because I thought it was appropriate and right for the council to take on the responsibility that it did. I will be consistent as it relates to that as it goes forward. Will I work with the mayor? Absolutely. I will. But I mean, next year, as vice president, if you all decide to put me in that position, I will be following in the heels of the council president as to however they go, and if I'm comfortable with the position that he or she is taking in that position, I'll be right there to support them all as much as I possibly can. But my greater goal, and this is my last bite of the apple, not only in terms of leadership, but in terms of public service. I have no ulterior motives beyond this. And I think that's a little daunting for some people to know that you've got someone in a leadership position who doesn't have prospects in their future beyond this. So, I get that completely. And I think that really is one of the pluses to the process. Full-time, available, committed, with no political aspirations beyond this.
Great. Thank you very much for that. Councilman Carlucci, do you have anything you want to ask or observe?
I mean,
or?
No, this has been good. I mean, my whole goal was to – I appreciate, you know, you putting this meeting together because I was wanting to have these almost feel like interview sessions. But it's almost just hearing, you know, Councilmember Boylan's and Councilmember Carrico's kind of as close to side-by-side as possible so you can really, you know, learn more about it. So I don't have any – questions. I mean, I've already made kind of my comments at the last meeting. I everything you touch and everything you've put your hand to has just been extremely thorough, thoughtful, and has turned out amazing. I mean, we're on the heels in the homelessness committee of the CQLI, so we're continuing to carry the football forward on a lot of hard work that you've done on that. But otherwise, no, I'm just glad we had this meeting within that 10-day window. And otherwise, yeah, no further questions for me.
Councilman Gaffney.
Carlucci Jr.
it's a habit.
It's names okay, continue. Buddy. It's okay.
It's a habit.
just taking this time to you know, just, I guess, embrace Councilman Boylan's vision for the district. You know, this is my first time hearing him talking about running for, you know, vice. So to be able to hear his sentiments, you know, it's good. So just here to learn, you know, haven't a chance to hear Kevin yet. I did read both of the letters, but I love this process. You know, this is like government about democracy, you know. So I guess over the next week or so, I'll take my time to, you know, pray about it, study, do some Googling, all that good stuff. And, you know, I made the right decision at the end of the day.
Yeah. The one thing I can share that I think is, and I would share this with Councilman Carrico as well, and maybe he can go back and listen to the recording, but to both candidates, when you're in your vice presidency year, of course, you want to support the council president. I was like that when Alberta was council president and I was vice president and I helped her. One day she's bagging groceries and she says, "You need to go. I can't get there. You need to get to the supervisor elections office." And once I got there, I was involved in Bush v. Gore from beginning to end, and we were basically spending the night at, you know, the supervisor elections office. But I took that year as vice president to do, I think, a lot of what you're doing, and that is planning, you know, you're giving your platform now, but if you are elected, be thinking about what you want to accomplish in that next year, because I will tell you, very seldom with term limits are you ever going to get more than one chance at being council president. And it is the greatest opportunity next to being mayor that you'll ever have at public service in Jacksonville. And the best thing you can do, and I'm just throwing this out there as sure. observations, is number one, be committed to helping your colleagues accomplish their goals in their districts. And because if you do, then they'll help you accomplish the things that you'll start putting together more and more through your year as vice president so that you can springboard into your council presidency. And I think some of what you have talked about is something that you would want to right. really initiate as council president. Is that correct?
I think, yeah, I think if we plant the seed now and if it tickles the fancy of the new president coming forward, I'll be glad to work on these kind of things. I think it's the kind of stuff that I see that as a platform. So, yeah, I think it's important to push out there where you'd like to see it going, and I think you can't get everything accomplished in a year. And so the idea of mushing it forward and putting it out there now, saying if, at the, again, the discretion of the president, he's is consistent with what his thinking and vision is, then perhaps we will have an opportunity to move some of these things forward sooner rather than later.
And I did like what you said about looking outside the walls of City Hall. It's so easy for us to keep our eyes in City Hall because that's where a lot of us are a lot of time. I try to spend more time at State Farm than I do here because I have this pesky business and a bunch of policyholders I have to keep happy. But I liked hearing what you were saying about, you know, helping the district council members and the at-large at times to be able to handle more of the public works, the nuts and bolts type of service that we have to our constituents. All politics is local, and I've learned if you keep your constituency happy, if you take care of your constituents, some of the most controversial issues will come up, and they may not agree with how you vote on that, but they'll say, you know what, I didn't agree with how he voted on that, but doggone, when I called up about my park needing to be cut or my pothole getting fixed or my traffic signal getting timed better, he took care of it. It's that whole thing. It's all local. And so I'm excited to see that we have two very qualified candidates, and we got competition. This is the way it should be, and that's one of the reasons I called the meeting. We should have competition for this every year. It should be, and it should be fair and square, and it should be a strong campaign. I appreciate the fact that you sent me a letter that was individualized to me. I thought, what a nice guy. He individualized his letter to me. But I understood the councilman colleague, Councilmember Caracos, he was speaking to the whole. So we all have our different ways of doing it. But I wanted to make sure you had the opportunity, Councilman Boylan, and you've been a damn delight to work with, as has Kevin Carrico. And so I don't want to be tipping the scales one way or the other, but I did want to make sure that everybody had a fair share chance to have the highlight on them. So unless there's any other questions, Corey, am I forgetting anything? That okay, Councilman Amaro, you're good. Carlucci,
good.
Randy, Council Vice President, Reg. Okay. Well, then in that case, I'm going to adjourn this meeting. And somebody turn this daggone microphone off, because I'm not sure what it's picking up all the time.
Don't say nothing. Very hard.